At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
And gentlemen, it's Wednesday, and you know what that means. It's time for the Wrestling Inc. AEW Dynamite After Show, and have we got a show for you. We've got Jon Moxley as the number one contender, the Young Bucks retaining the titles, and MVP has arrived to talk business. But before we get into all of that, allow me to introduce the crew. I'm Jack Farmer, here with special guest Emily May and Jimmy Corderas, who's always on top, but tonight a little under the weather, pal.
Just a little bit under the wet, little horse. So I'm saying my little pony, I guess. I don't know. But hey, the fever's gone down 98.9. So we're getting there.
Now, is that Celsius or Fahrenheit?
No, if it was Celsius, you know what? Even my thermostat at home, I switched it back to Fahrenheit because it drives me insane trying to figure, okay, do we want to keep it at 21 or 22? Just put it at 70. I don't care.
Jimmy, I'm sorry you're not feeling well, but I'm happy you're here. We've missed you on Raw and all over. So,
That was because a little vacay with the missus. The missus and I took her 25th anniversary over to Greece.
Congratulations!
Thank you. Well, poor her. She's put up with me for all that time, so I had to do something nice.
Yeah, you know, for as beautiful as Greece was, I believe Jimmy hasn't confirmed this, but I believe that he came back because he missed me.
I heard that. That was the rumor and speculation, Jack.
That's what everyone was saying. But Emily, you're here. You're joining us. Thanks for hanging out on a Wednesday afternoon. You and your special guest I saw right before we went live.
Oh, your special guest
is MJF, the cat.
The cat.
Is there do you have a good cat pun name for MJ? Like,
I don't know. I haven't
MJ
I haven't
Feline
figured it out yet. I haven't figured it out yet. But look at how cute. It's a little plushy MJF cat.
Everyone in the chat, everyone in the comments, we got to come up with a fun MJF cat pun name for Emily's MJF cat here. Yeah. I'm sure we've got some good pun names here. A lot of great folks coming through here. Mario Pence, happy to see Jimmy back on the team here. And a lot of folks here happy to see Emily as well. Not as many people happy to see me. James Winter, though, with a spoiler alert, says, let me guess, Jack will love it and Jimmy will hate it. So,
am I the tiebreaker? I'll be the tiebreaker.
You're the tiebreaker, yes.
How does it feel, Jimmy, to know someone else is the one that's calling it down the middle tonight, huh?
It's a nice little break. Yeah, I don't have to use my referee's discretion at all.
I do want to get your insight when we get to it on some points in the show.
There's definitely a moment I think we're all probably thinking of that we're thinking about a ref situation that we're going to want to talk about. So we'll get there. I think we all know what we're talking about, but we'll get there. Let's talk about some news beforehand. We got Tony Khan commenting on AEW potentially moving over to the Max streaming service. AEW CEO Tony Khan appeared on WFAN Daily to discuss the company's future media plans. During the interview, Khan shed light on the potential for AEW content to be featured on Max. And he said the plan is, I think, to do a lot of things potentially with Max. That could involve a variety of things. So far, a lot of information. We have the shows on TBS and TNT. That's how they are available now. Dynamite, Collision, Rampage, pay-per-views. Everything is on the table. I'm really excited to have TBS and TNT as a partner for all the great things we do. Later went on to say, for pay-per-views, for sure, we've had great conversations about streaming. We've been doing it on Bleacher Report. They're sunsetting Bleacher Report. We're going to be doing our pay-per-views on other apps. You can get the pay-per-views on other places for now. we're working on some exciting announcements about where to get those and what's to come with Max. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I can promise you I'm 100% confident that we're going to have AEW on TBS and TNT for a long time. So kind of just repeating the same talking points, Emily. You're in the media. You're asking questions a lot. So you'll probably appreciate this. A part of me is like, we know. But of course, I feel bad. Tony, he keeps getting asked the questions. But at the same time, if you're the news outlet, you got to ask the question. It's kind of this vicious cycle at this point of repeating the same info.
I feel like we've been like hitting the nail, like just continuously with poor Tony Khan saying, hey, like, let us know what, and if anyone knows, when you're trying to like negotiate a deal of any kind in any type of business, you can't necessarily, like when you're in negotiations or about to sign, you can't, or even when you sign, sometimes you can't come out yet. There's a whole PR strategy behind it. When you want to make your announcement, who's going to make the announcement, all of that. So from like a kind of behind the scenes perspective, it bothers me when it's like, all right, just like, let's take a breather. Let's let it come out when it comes out. And, you know,
yeah,
leave them alone for a minute.
But I say that though, as a hypocrite, because if Tony Khan was on the show right now, I'd be like, so Tony Khan, when are we going to hear about the match?
And he would say the same thing he just said, and then we'd be quoting it, and then we get an article up, and
it would be the exact same thing. But you have to ask, because what if he can't talk about it, and you don't ask, and then you miss the big story. Armando says that's Tony's fault for talking about a renewal way ahead of time. I got to give – look, Tony Khan is definitely guilty of saying lots of big announcements all the time, but I don't put this on Tony, Jimmy. I think the media has kind of come at him looking for answers, and now he's sort of stuck. What say you, Jimmy?
Yeah, I think they did put him in that position, but at the same time, Tony Khan should just say to them, listen, when there's something on the table and it's tangible and it's something we can announce, we will announce it. Until then, wait and see. This whole, you know what, something's in the works, we're going to be here, we're looking at this, we're looking at that, all this is a possibility. Everybody's going, okay, but this is nothing new. This is what we've heard since day one, that a deal is in the works. So why don't you just tell everybody, relax, take a step back, and we will announce it when the time is right. As far as this Max deal, that's the one that's got me, you know, like you said, you guys are media more than I am, but at the same time, if the pay-per-views do move to Max, that interests me in a way that Max is a streaming service that is not just AEW, right? It's all kinds of programming similar to like the Netflix deal that WWE has. So if their pay-per-views do move exclusively to Max, or even if there's other ways to see it via pay-per-view, where does that revenue go? Because do they lose revenue by having it on Max? Does Max pay them a certain amount? I see there's a lot going on here. There's a lot of mashed potatoes going on. They're mixing a lot of stuff. So, you know, I like to know those kind of things as opposed to, you know, it looks like they're going to be on TBS for a while. And that's great.
Yeah.
I hope they do get a good deal. But, you know, let's stop talking about it until it happens, please.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing that does spark my interest, Jimmy, with the HBO Max thing is HBO is known for very, I mean, Netflix is too, very intense programming. HBO is like, is now Max, right? Adult programming, a lot of it, right? So it's going to be over the top. Like some of the most like gritty, gritty controversial shows are on that streaming service. So is there going to be some crossover stuff? Is there like, my thought is like, how much opportunities will there be for AEW talent to have that crossover potentially? If they're having their pay-per-views on that program or that service. So that's just like slightly in the back of my head.
That's actually a really great point. Now that I think about it, it really makes AEW seem like a good partner for them, because they do have shows, I said, like The Boys, where they're violent, they're gritty. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what AEW is. It's violent, it's bloody. I think an episode of AEW Dynamite would go perfect right before watching an episode of The Boys, if you've ever seen The Boys. The Boys is next on my list. I got to catch up on the new season. So that's why it's top of mind for me. But I've said before, man, I would love if they had these pay-per-views on Max just so that it could save people money. I think that now, Jimmy, to your point, now, first off, I don't care who makes the money. I just want to save money myself. But I've always said that, well, I imagine it's a deal, just to say that. I'd imagine if what they're probably trying to figure out is Max wants to give them an upfront amount and then they keep mm-hmm. something on the other end, and they're trying to figure out what that number is. But probably AEW would get less than what they would make doing the pay-per-views, but there'd be less risk as far as how much the pay-per-views sell, if that makes sense.
I get where you're going with that.
As a fan, I think it'd be so good for them if they made these pay-per-views more accessible. I've said before, I think one of the sneaky things that's hurting ratings and hurting ticket buys is that the biggest shows are the ones that price people out. And it's like, I'm not going to follow my football team all year and then not watch the playoffs. But right. that's where a lot of people are kind of stuck, where I'm watching Dynamite every week, but then when it comes to the pay-per-views, I can't pay $50, you know, and watch this. And now mm-hmm. they get disconnected from the show. But if they were able to watch this, I think that's one of the things that helps WWE, is everyone can watch everything. And there is no barrier to watching this stuff. And I think that that would be a huge benefit for them in ways beyond just how many pay-per-view buys they get, is right. letting people have access to all of these shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I know the fun part of a pay-per-view sometimes, like when it was $50, and I mean, mm-hmm. now it is still around there, is you get a big party together, you get all your friends together, everyone chips in some mm-hmm. money, you're all watching it together. So there is this like collective community aspect of it, because it is important for it to be accessible to everyone. Mm-hmm. And hopefully with these streaming services, it is a little bit more accessible.
Yeah, so I think it's great. I think that Max is a great partner for them to have if it plays out. Let's see what happens. Jose Topete says, predicting announcement next week on the 5-year anniversary show. That makes sense. Mm. And stalking you with a dog emoji. But something that is still up in the air as well is old Daniel Garcia. According to Dave Meltzer on Wrestling Observer Radio, Garcia's recent TV absence is due to an increasing chance that he might be bound for WWE, saying, "I don't think they want him on TV until he makes the commitment. The strong confidence that he was signed, I wouldn't say it's as strong, but I wouldn't say he's leaving either, but it's not as strong as it was a month ago. He may leave." Jimmy, this is a Daniel Garcia is in a tough spot. I mean, mm-hmm. It's very easy for us to armchair quarterback what to do if you're Daniel Garcia, but right. if you're the person in that spot, you know, the place you know versus the place you don't know, but there's obviously benefits to one, there's benefits to the other, and you'll never know what the right answer is until you sign the paperwork. That's a scary situation, Jimmy.
It is a very scary situation because there is really no right answer. The only right answer is what you feel is right mm-hmm. for you. That is the right answer. And if he's feeling like he's not getting the opportunities to shine or to show his wares in AEW and wants to go somewhere else, then that's fine. That's his choice. If he wants to stay and take a shot and say, listen, I have a lot to offer, and I've showed you guys that I can offer a lot to this product, then, you know, by all means, stay and show them. And anytime you get whether it's 30 seconds or 30 minutes on television, you maximize every second you're on television and show them, listen, I'm a guy that you need on your television show, and people get invested in. And that's what Daniel Garcia needs to do right now, is figure out what he wants to do for himself first and then go from there and, you know, take care of himself.
You know, it's so funny. Nick in the chat has a question I was literally just about to ask you, Jimmy. Might be out of the loop on the answer, but Jimmy, did you ever almost jump ship?
Whoa.
I think. WCW. I'm Ron Burgundy here, Nick. I don't know how close you could talk about close, but was there ever a moment where there was like an opportunity where you were balancing, like, hey, there's this other opportunity for me?
For me, no, because I was perfectly fine where I was. I was happy with doing double duty because I also did ring crew as well as refereeing. And like I said, the best part about being on the ring crew was all the perks that came with it, because you didn't have to pay for the rental car, the hotel, the meal allowance you had, where all the talent, as you guys know, were independent mm-hmm. contractors. So they were flown in and out of the beginning city and the ending city of the tour. But all this stuff in between, they were responsible for, which is why everybody got together in a car to split the cost of a rental car, split hotel rooms, eating at Denny's, whatever, you know. Yeah.
Now it's Waffle House. You got to do right. Waffle House.
Oh,
I'm not tough enough to go into Waffle House, but Emily, I love about the situation for Daniel Garcia is we talked about this before. I think one of the most beneficial things of an AEW is there's two people who want him. He has options. He has this situation. And I'm going to be honest. I don't think Daniel Garcia is in a situation where he's got two big companies looking for him. If there wasn't one company that was willing to take a shot on him earlier. I think that this is really one of the beauties of an AEW being out there and another chance for someone to make more money.
Well, and the thing is, like, it's, again, competition is good in a very saturated, like not a very saturated market in this echelon of wrestling. Right. And so it's good. And it's also amazing. We've seen this happen recently in the last like 6 months, the talent that have really amazing moments in AEW are looked at by the competition and WWE. Like, we can say it, we all know, we all see the headlines, we all see what's been happening, and that's okay. It kind of goes, I feel like it does go both ways. So for Daniel Garcia, like, that's just a great opportunity for him to, like Jimmy said, look at what's best for his family, him, what's better for your mental state, your physical state, your growth opportunities, like, where are you going to grow the best and the most, and what makes sense? So again, it's none of our, we can speculate, we can, you know, fantasy book all that we want, but really it's ultimately up to him. And, you know, we could be talking about nothing and there's conversations happening. We obviously don't know, but we'll see. You know, obviously some people take a lot of time off too, where it's like, people don't realize being on the road is really taxing. It's very exhausting mentally, physically, emotionally, being in a different city every week, multiple times a week, potentially. It's so I don't blame him if he's like taking time to reevaluate.
Well, I'm a huge Daniel Garcia fan. I believe in him. I think wherever he's going to go, he's going to be a huge star. I've been saying that for years now. Years. I've been
8 years. 8 years. Guy. You're really doing
eight,
the wrong.
Well, not 8 years, but 8 years, many years. For a long time, I have been saying that Daniel Garcia is going to be a big star. I believe in him. I think he's going to be top of the industry someday. But we have another update on somebody. Old Vikingo, the former AAA mega champion and AEW star, Vikingo has targeted a return date to get back in the ring following knee surgery. According to a new report, Dave Meltzer reported that he's targeting September 27th for his in-ring return, though just where he will return has not yet been revealed. Now, this is what the article on Wrestling Inc. says. I'm looking at the calendar. That means Friday. So I don't know. I don't know if that's Rampage. I don't know if that's somewhere else. Seems very sudden to be making a return.
I mean, they filmed stuff today, right? Did they film stuff after tonight?
Yeah, I don't know. I think they did. September 27th, though, very quick.
Two days from now.
2 days from now. Yeah, so, Emily, you excited to see Vikingo back?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like when anyone makes like a big return after taking some time off, it's always good to kind of see them back in the fold. See what they do.
Mm-hmm. Jimmy, I'm a huge Vikingo fan. I think he's fun. He's exciting. He does flips off stuff. Always cool. I'm a man of simple tastes. Jimmy, excited to see Vikingo back?
I'm excited when anybody who's injured and has a bad injury like he did gets to get back into it. That makes me happier more than anything, whether I'm a fan of them or not, or whether I enjoy their work or not. I'm just happy that they're able to get back in there and do it. And like you said, he is exciting in a lot of flips. So he'll fit right in. Well, it is Friday, so should we speculate where he's going? Nah. Let's say he's staying right where he is. He'll be fine.
Adonde says, LOA, Jack doesn't dislike anyone. There are people I don't dislike. Like, as Jack Farmer, I hate ranchers. That's an inside joke. Not really inside, just a deep cut. It goes goes back to
goes way back.
It goes back to NXT when Fallon Henley was a rancher.
Said, oh my goodness. You're like, that is a deep cut.
I said, there's a long history between farmers and ranchers. We can't stand each other.
It's the battle of the rancher
farmer. Apparently the Outrunners are signed to AEW agreements. Fightful Select confirmed this, that they signed with the company, even though they never got their are all elite graphic. AEW's been very happy with them since they showed up, and apparently they're a top 10 merchandise seller. Emily, the Outrunners, crazy, they're top 10 merchandise sellers when they're never on Dynamite. I mean, they're on Collision and everything, but clearly Dynamite's the flagship. This is a team. Like, why? Let's get them on Dynamite.
Yeah, seriously, like, get them on Dynamite. Get those merchandise sales even higher. That's really cool. I think that shows that sometimes you have those you know, make the most of the TV time you have. Like, that's so important. And that proves it if you're in the top 10 of merchandise sales.
Yeah. By the way, I got to say, you know, as Droy J says, ranchers are the worst. Danny Cochran, Jack hates ranch salad dressing. Listen, this is, you know, Jimmy, this is where it started. You know, years ago, farmers had created this very delicious candy. We called it Happy Farmers, and it was going to be the biggest candy in the world. But then ranchers stole it, and before we could release it, Jolly Ranchers hit the market, and Happy Farmers never made it big in the candy world. Now, Jolly Ranchers are the talk of the town.
So you mean they're like Pop-Tarts?
Jolly Rancher?
Oh, Jolly no. Rancher?
No. Anyways, that was a bad Seinfeld reference. But anyway.
Oh, I love Seinfeld. No. Have you seen the Outrunners, Jimmy? They seem like they're right up your alley. They're very 80s based. And I love their bits on social media where they were like, they've kicked out of the Undertaker's tombstone back in 83. Like,
yeah.
All this stuff. What are your thoughts on the Outrunners?
They're fun. That's what the whole thing is. They're fun. I mean, you can be serious, and yes, you can have your classic wrestling matches, catch as catch can, and all these different hard, strong style Japanese stuff, but you got to have a variety, and you have to have stuff that is fun and entertaining too. So the Outrunners are exactly that, fun and entertaining. So they, I know people pigeonhole me as the guy who likes to, he's just the old school wrestling guy. No, I like a variety of wrestling. I just like it to make sense. And sometimes what the Outrunners do doesn't make sense, but that's the beauty of it.
That's what's so fun about it. Yeah, they're so ridiculous. And it's just, what I always like in wrestlers, one of the things I always look for many of them is like, I call it the Royal Rumble test. Even though this is AEW, it still counts for the Royal Rumble test. If you're watching a bunch of people coming out every 30 seconds, music hits, they walk out. Does the person who doesn't watch a lot of wrestling go, I know who that person is, and I know how I feel about that person? And that's exactly the Outrunners. Like, if you've never watched wrestling before, their music hits, they walk out, you know exactly what they're about, and you know whether or not you like them. And that's what I love about those guys. So let's get them on Dynamite. I've heard Tony Khan watches this show. So Tony, put Outrunners on Dynamite. I think they would be Dynamite, to keep using the word.
And they should eat Jolly Ranchers.
And they should.
Right. Oh my goodness.
Dipped in ranch dressing.
No Jolly Ranchers. No Thousand Island. Thank you very
much. Thousand Island.
That was the only one I could think of off the top of my head.
Gross. That's like the second worst one.
What's the what's another
sound? Like Dijon mustard dressing. I hate. Oh my goodness. It's like that, and then.
Well, I don't eat salads. I don't know what other dressing goes on there.
Obviously.
That's
very important stuff.
This is the salad dressing podcast, and we'll be right back. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jack Farm with the Wrestling Podcast, and a few years back, WWE sold a New Day-themed kit where people could make unicorn horn-shaped popsicles. They don't make them anymore, but you can still make your own popsicles, even without the kit, and get top-tier hydration in the process. In these post-SummerSlam dog days, Liquid IV is offering refreshing summer flavors like Popsicle Firecracker and Rainbow Sherbet to keep you cool and give you 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 essential vitamins and nutrients. Liquid IV is always non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. Tear, pour, live more. 1 stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. It's great for a road trip to No Mercy or watching All In at home. Indulge in hydration this summer with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code WRESTLE at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code WRESTLE at liquidiv.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's get into the show. Let's talk about AEW Dynamite. But as always, thank you everyone who's watching and listening. Like, comment, share, subscribe, 5-star reviews. If you're one of what I call you, the co-hosts in the chat, we got I Am Air, Ethan Cruz, Laura Rock, Daniel Barry, Mario Pence. We got Jose Adonde, Joe C, Terry Allen Jr. with a super chat talking about how Terry watches the pay-per-view, says, YouTube is simple for me watching AEW pay-per-views. I've heard YouTube is like sneakily one of the best ways to watch TV and pay-per-views and stuff like that. So I got to try that out, Terry. But we got Danny and Ted and a bunch of other folks here. So many people. There used to be a time, Jimmy, and you probably remember, I used to be able to just shout out everybody. But now the chat has grown and it would take me too long. I feel terrible. I can't say everybody anymore. But let's talk about this show. Let's get to it, Jack.
I got a feeling it's going to be a spicy episode.
This is going to be a good one.
That's burgundy.
So, you got to be careful what you put in the chat. There was a time when people would change their usernames, Emily, to names that were inappropriate, but they would separate it like first and last names, and I walked right into them every time. It was like inappropriate version of like Seymour Butts. It was just like I felt like Mo the bartender getting a phone call from Bart Simpson, speaking of deep cuts. Let's talk about this first match. Nigel McGuinness versus Bryan Danielson. Danielson doesn't come out immediately, so Nigel calls for a 10 count. It starts, but we get final countdown and then a good one between two of the greats. Bryan Danielson wins as Nigel McGuinness says thank you, apparently. Post-match, Christian Cage is about to cash in, but he's foiled by Kip Sabian and the Blackpool Combat Club lurking. Emily May, you are the guest, so I'm going to give you the first up at bat here. What was your thoughts on this one? I enjoyed it. I thought it was a very different style of match for AEW.
Yeah, I mean, I love how this was the match we were all anticipating, right? We were wondering if Danielson was going to show up. There was a lot of build in the sense of, like, I feel like as fans, we've wanted this. It's a rivalry that's gone on for, like, years. It's amazing seeing Nigel in the ring again. I was there when he came out, and he was the surprise at All Out, and it was literally chills the whole stadium. And so to see him get this match that I know both of them have wanted was just really kind of emotional. And I think that thank you, Jack, was kind of Nigel giving nod to Danielson of like, thanks, man. Like, this is what I wanted, even though it was a tough, tough competition. I think it's something that they both wanted. And so we could see that emotion. And I feel like that's why you kick off a show like this with a match like that. I think they also targeted the right, when they were working together, they were targeting the right spots, like the eye, the back of Danielson. Like, there was really just smart strategy on both of them to try to take each other out. So I think it was just such a well just executed moment for both of them.
Yeah, this was, like I said, very European style feeling. And I agree with the thank you. I think it was very cool. And Jimmy, I know you have your thoughts. And obviously I want you to get to all those. But it's something that I think over the few years, we kind of take for granted in some ways, at least maybe it feels that way, that people do get second shots in wrestling again. Because it wasn't that long ago that, you know, you'd get an injury or something and they're gone and there's no hope that they could come back at all. And but we've had so many of these where people get a second chance. I can only imagine someone like Nigel McGuinness, who from an interview I saw, sounds like it was for financial reasons. He had to step away from wrestling and to sort of lose this part of the dream, but to finally get to go out in a way, or at least have that opportunity to go out or have a match that feels like you get to really tie up that loose end, has got to just be an incredible moment for him.
It's got to be, because how long has it been since he's been in the ring? What is it? 14, 12 years? Something like that?
Something like that.
Yeah.
It's hard. We've seen guys like Edge come back when mm-hmm. we thought, you know, the career was done, you know, yeah. Especially with neck injuries and stuff like that. But like you said, with Nigel McGuinness, it was a different story for him. It wasn't an injury that kept him out. So that was the interesting part of it. As far as the match goes, I enjoyed the match. I thought the match was well executed. I thought the psychology, it's Bryan Danielson. Any match of Bryan Danielson's in is going to have good psychology and good storytelling and, you know, targeting a body part, whatever the body part might be, whether it's the wrist, the back, like Emily said, or something like that. But my only issue was the beginning of the match. If they're going to do that, where they're going to tease Bryan Danielson be here for this match, don't do it at the beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, tease it at the beginning. Don't have the match. Maybe have Nigel McGuinness says the match is scheduled for later. Will he be here or will he not? Leave the audience with that anticipation. Is it going to happen? We don't know if it's going to happen. I get it. You want to kick off the show with a good match, which they did. At the same time, the story going into it, I think it would have been more, you know, people would have been, is he or is he not?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. You could have like Nigel McGuinness walking around backstage being like, is he here yet? Is he here yet? Like, and building that anticipation. We all knew he was going to be there, but like, I get what you're saying though. Like, yeah, you want to kind of build that moment and have him getting frustrated. Like, I knew he was a chicken or whatever Nigel says, and really work it up. And even if it's not the last match, because they obviously have the way they ended the show, like maybe that. Start of the second hour or something like that would be a cool way to do
Even JR said he checked catering a couple of times during the day and didn't see him.
Well, you're not going to find Bryan Danielson in catering.
Not in that catering, no.
But yeah, I really love this one. And just like I said, a very European style of matchup as opposed to where AEW tends to have more lucha style, in the sense that they're jumping around a bit more, and at least that's what I see, or Japanese style a lot, and so that's at least what I seem to see. Not to be wrestling nerd about it, but this is something. So I did I was at a show last night. I did commentary, I did ring announcing, and I rang the bell, ding ding ding. And so this stuck out to me, and it this is such a stupid thing. It didn't really bother me, but just because it was the top of mind, it bothered me that the ref started counting to 10. But the bell wasn't rang to signal the start of the match. So why are you counting to 10? You got to ring the bell, then you count to 10. I get why they did it. It didn't really bother me, but it was just one of those things because it was very top of mind. You know, I was like,
yeah,
hey, you're supposed to ring the bell before the match. I felt very Jimmy Corderas.
I'm sorry.
I was like,
Jimmy's like, really?
Technically, that's not the rules.
No, it's not. The bell's supposed to ring. There's supposed to be two participants before you can start a count. But anyway, I digress.
And I was about to say, too, listen, just because the music hit doesn't mean the count stops. If you start the count continues. Just because the music's playing, you got to keep counting. Bryan Danielson, you got to get in that ring, pal.
You're too nitpicky, Jack. Come on.
Oh, my gosh. Sometimes you just have to be in the moment, Jack.
I'll tell you.
And just let it happen. We were waiting. We wanted to hear the final countdown. We wanted that moment. Just let it ride.
I'll tell you, I can give you a hard time, but that nitpick heel, you start rolling down that thing fast once you...
Did I just accuse Jack of being nitpicky with the referees? My goodness. What's going on here?
I know. If he's nitpicky, oh my God.
Adonde says, agree with Jimmy 100%. I think about this match going on later in the night. And then Sonny saying lots of good things out. Nigel here in the chat. But yeah, lots of good stuff there. Emily, what are your thoughts on Blackpool Combat Club? Now, without talking about what happened at the end of the show, I thought it was weird they're still like protecting Bryan Danielson or lurking around there. Do you think something's going on there, or was that just a, I don't know, thing that was there?
I don't know. I'm curious to see like what, because they obviously have had their big moment. They don't want anything to do with him except to try to take him down. Right. I don't know. We kind of see what happened later in the night. And so maybe that's kind of retribution a little bit, but I haven't figured out that puzzle yet, Jack.
maybe we'll see as time goes on. Maybe they're still just protecting Danielson so that Moxley can get him. I don't know. But this is an interesting question. Sonny Sitar in the chat asks, where did the rules of pro wrestling come from, Jimmy? I know a lot of people are going to say from the WWE, but I'm sure you'll say that they are from long before WWE.
Much long before WWE. There were rules implemented in the years way back, even in the carnival days, in the Carney days. And that's what they just evolved over the years when, like, you go back to the time of Bill Watts, where the tag matches had the two save rule.
Mm-hmm.
You're allowed two saves in a tag match. If you made a third one, your team was disqualified and stuff like that. Obviously, that's been thrown out the window long ago. And, you know, the over the top rope, throwing someone over the top rope was an automatic disqualification at the time, stuff like that. So they have laxed the rules so that talent could do a lot more and not have to always have to ring the bell when something like that happens.
Fascinating thing I heard, and maybe you'll know this, maybe you can clarify this, or if this is just someone talking, Jimmy, but a fascinating little thing I heard is the reason why it's called a lumberjack match is because back in the day, lumberjacks, they'd have arguments, and you can't be working in a dangerous environment like lumberjacks. If there's a disagreement, so they had the guys fight, and the lumberjacks would surround them to make sure one of them didn't run away, and they hashed out their differences. And I love that. That's a very cool piece of trivia. That's why it's called a lumberjack match, and that's why they're called lumberjacks.
Exactly. That's exactly where that originated. They used to form a big circle with the two guys that had the issue. They'd go at it toe to toe, and guess what? You either go down and stay down, or you don't try to escape because the lumberjacks will throw you back in. There was no getting out of there.
Right. So that's why, Jimmy, I love that we talked about that. One of the reasons I want to bring it up is sometimes I think when people, and I'm not accusing Sonny of this, I think sometimes people just imply that, oh, well, Vince McMahon made all this up and everyone's trying to live and die by what that is. But there's way more to these rules than one person or even one company, as big as that company may be.
Well, even little things like in New Japan, where there's a 10 count when there are tags, right? And 20 count outside the ring. Little variations there.
You know,
depends on the company.
Droy J says Mount Olympus set the rules down. So
I thought it was Yoda.
Yeah. But he had all the rules mixed up. It was very difficult to read.
Oh, okay.
We have Mike. I see what you're doing here. Ask, is there an official pro wrestling handbook rule book? Jimmy, I know you have one probably right next to you.
No, it's not right next to me. It's in my desk over here on the other side, but there is one actually. A WWE one.
I know that. Is that for sale? Can anyone go buy it? Or is that
There was an actual book, the WWE rule book that they used to sell way back when. Yeah. But it's one of those deals where they had rules and it was stories and that sort of thing. But the draft that we had that was given to us, I want to say mid-2000s. That was a draft just for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool to take a look at. Speaking of rules and how they don't apply, Roderick Strong versus Hook for the FTW championship. They really don't apply in this match. I'm not making jokes.
Nope. There was no rules. Jimmy's drinking.
It's ginger ale. It's ginger ale for my throat.
I don't know. It looks a little whiskey-esque.
Yeah. This is a unsanctioned championships. There are no rules. That is the way it is set. So it's the FTW championship. After some chairs get involved, Hook retains. Surprisingly, Roderick Strong gives Hook a respectful handshake. Then 3 miles from where it was born, Hook retires the FTW championship and hands it off to Taz. Emily, I said this on Twitter, but there's a lot of opinions about the FTW championship and what it means or doesn't mean or how people feel about it, whatever, over the years, and especially in AEW. But to me, I felt like this was a powerful moment of Hook giving this championship back to his dad, retiring it in New York. Mm-hmm. And I always say pro wrestling is about moments. And if this gave us a powerful moment, then I feel like this is a cool moment. How do you feel about it? Some people say I'm too positive. Am I being too positive here?
Well, I think there were questions like when the FTW championship was introduced back, into AEW, there's questions of like, it's not an AEW title, but it's being defended on the program. So there was lots of questions of like, what are they doing with this title? So I felt like this was an emotional moment. And again, it is all about the all about those big moments that mean something, that Hook was able to pass this on, right? To Taz and have this moment with his dad. And I think that was really the only way I could see it, like see him retiring the title and the belt. I think I have questions of like what he'll do now next, because it's, you don't necessarily, it takes a lot to retire a title and to say, okay, I'm going to give this up because you want to be champion. And he had an amazing defense against Roderick Strong tonight. But why did he want to do it tonight? That was also in the back of my head. Like, what made it the right time for him to do that?
I think because it was New York, and that's where they're from. Yeah,
I mean, they had a New York crowd that would support them in that. So I could see that. And I think there was just questions of how long this title would be defended, right? But I think it was a good moment. Tonight,
Jimmy, thoughts on the match, thoughts on the retirement of the championship, and obviously, I think the big question, as Emily alluded to, what's next for Hook?
Yeah, that's the big thing. What's next for Hook? But as far as the match goes, it is what it is. All the FTW defenses were always pretty much anything goes, so there's nothing new there, and that's right in their wheelhouse, especially for someone like Hook, because that's his forte. But the moment with Taz, I thought was really nice, you know, giving the original FTW champion the championship back and retiring it. But like Emily said, I would have liked to know the reason why, you know, give us a reason why before he hands it off to his dad, cut a little promo. Unfortunately, hate to say it, Hook's not exactly a master of the microphone. So he, you know. But at least give us a reason why, give us a little speech, give us a little background and say, listen, you know, I've done this to honor my father's legacy, but you know what? It's time for this championship to go home where it belongs.
Yeah.
With the originator of the FTW championship.
Yeah. I mean, he thanked the crowd and the fans, and like, he did allude to that. But I felt like it should have been a bigger, maybe it could have been bigger, Jimmy, to your point. A little more pointed of like why it's happening right now.
Right.
I guess I thought it was a great moment. I think if you could add to it, I would say maybe if he did something along the lines of I love this championship, but it's time for me to challenge for a different championship. Mm-hmm. And then like maybe make that transition into now I'm going to look towards the TNT championship or the Continental Championship or the International Championship or the Tag Team Championship or the Trios Championship or the, you know,
how many championships are there?
So that said, inside of that joke is also, I think we're all happy that we've narrowed down at least one championship off the table there. So that's a step in a good direction as well. So I want to see Hook in something else. This is something that I think other co-hosts of the show, Flobo Boys, would always say. The FTW championship is always like a show within a show where it doesn't feel like it's part. It's like it's its own thing. And I can't wait for Hook to leave that show within a show and then start having issues with. I always say I want to see him have a match with Kyle Fletcher. I want to see him have rivalries with Will Ospreay and all the big names and start mixing up instead of just being within this little FTW bubble that he's kind of been in. Speaking of Will Ospreay and Kyle Fletcher, we got a tag team championship match against the Young Bucks. Lots of high-octane back-and-forth action. When Don Callis gives Kyle Fletcher a screwdriver, Ospreay stops Fletcher, but that allows the Bucks to use the titles as a weapon and get the win. Jimmy, I got a lot of questions for you. I'm going to go to Emily first because I have a lot of questions for you.
Okay.
I don't want to talk about this for a long time and then not give Emily a chance. Emily, what were your thoughts of this one? Now, as a fan, this is, you know, this is my wheelhouse. People jumping around, flying all over the place, kicking out of everything, left, right, and center. Young Bucks Chetane, did you like it?
Well, I did enjoy it, but was this like an officially a tornado tag match? We'll talk about it. I know you're going to bring that up, but I have questions about that. So we'll talk about it. We'll leave that for Jimmy because Jimmy, he's going to have a lot to say about that. I love Ospreay and Fletcher together. What I really enjoyed about this match is both teams, there wasn't really offense of just like the one opponent. It really felt like both teams were working together as a tag team, which was really nice to see because sometimes you just see like one person from a team in it for themselves, right? But I feel like they really were able to think and work together in a really, really, really good way. Mm-hmm. And I'm a huge fan of Ospreay and Fletcher, so I always enjoy seeing them together. And I really like this pairing. I think this is going to be really good if they continue to do what they're doing. And we could talk about the Young Bucks, but we all have opinions. But yeah, so I want to get to Jimmy. Jimmy, I see him smirking, so I feel like Jimmy's going to... Jack, you're the...
Yeah, so Jimmy... You're the moderator. I don't know if I want to say just go for it, Jimmy, or if I want to cue you up with something. I'm just saying
no, cue me up. Cue me up. Go for it.
I have questions too, so I'll let you go.
So there are multiple questions, and I'm trying to figure out the best way to get to this. I'm just going to start with the biggest thing. I think the biggest thing that a lot of people saw. I'm talking about Rick Knox, and you know I don't nitpick the refs much, but the there's a lot of people in the ring in this one. Yeah. A lot. But the most egregious thing that stood out to me was when Will Ospreay went for the pin, and it felt like even Rick Knox did not know who the legal person was for a moment there, and he didn't count the pin right away. I always feel like if the action continues and I don't notice that something's wrong, then it's fine by me. That's just my opinion of it. But when I see that Rick Knox, you know, there's a pin going and he's looking around like, wait, what am I supposed to do? To me, that was very much a like, oh, that's pretty rough. And Jimmy, if you're in that, have you ever been in a situation where you legitimately didn't know who the legal person was?
It has happened. Thankfully, not on television, but it has happened where you're not exactly sure what's going on because there's so much gaga going on in the ring and everybody's in there for so long. And all of a sudden the wrong guy covers the wrong person. And you're like, but wait a minute, was that the legal guy? Was it not a legal guy? And you're thinking, and it was worse when you did it with somebody like Eddie, if Eddie and Chavo were in the ring, cause Eddie would scream at you. He's legal. Go ahead and count. Oh yeah. Okay. I'm going to go count. But tonight it just looked like, for me, when in a situation like that, if the situation was where he's questioning himself and trying to figure out, is that the legal man pinning the other legal man that's supposed to be in the ring? Don't make it look like the Odd Couple where you're sitting around going, you know, like turning your head. Like obviously it looked too cartoonish that way. You know, you can do a subtle look like, okay, hold on a sec. Give me a second here. Yes. He's the legal and motion. Use motion so that the fans know that you're okay. Yes, yes, he's the legal man. Now dive in and count.
Yeah.
If that was indeed
the communication tonight, between kind of everyone in the ring. And I don't know if that was how they were trying to play it off to like cause more chaos and kind of like uneasiness, but I don't think it came off the way that it was intended or not intended. I don't know. That's
I feel like in that tag situation, in the pin situation, I feel like, and Jimmy, maybe I'm absolutely wrong here, but I feel like if I was Rick Knox, I would just make a decision and go with it and be like, look, if I'm wrong, like go for the pin. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But at least it doesn't look wrong, you know, for anyone who's watching, as opposed to making it clear that he clearly had lost sight of what was happening.
At one point, it almost looked like to me, at that pin attempt, like he was waiting to see if the other buck was ready to make the save or not. He wasn't sure if he was going to get in there in time.
Right. Well, yeah, but the Buck, he was in the ring with them. Like, he was right there.
Right, right. But it just didn't look right. Something looked off.
And it's not, and this is where, because, you know, I'll push back if I feel like you're nitpicking. I definitely don't feel like this is nitpicking, because the whole crowd noticed. The crowd responded negatively. Like, everyone felt that moment. And we all make mistakes. I don't want to, like, nitpick
the guy. Course.
But at the same time, it's like, this was clearly, like, the match was definitely getting a little out of hand. And that was one of those points where, like, I like him fun. You know, I'm loose. I don't ever keep track of who's legal, personally, to be honest. In fact, that's a question for the chat. Do you guys, and in the comments, do you at home keep track of who is legal, or do you use context clues? I kind of just use context clues. Like, okay, this seems like a person who's legal. And again, if something like this doesn't happen, where clearly the whole thing fell apart, I usually don't care too much. But in this time, I was like, yeah, this was not good. But in that case, Jimmy, if it was you, so you would kind of, I guess you would motion like you were doing something instead of just the standing there.
Yeah, try to look like you're doing your job, even though you're not. You're trying to look like you're busy. Look busy is the big thing. And even if it was simple, like somebody's down and you're checking on them, and you kind of turn your head, oh, somebody's covered, let me go over there. And whatever the case may be, every situation is different. You know, it's like you said, you talk about Monday morning quarterbacking. It's easy for me to see it afterwards and go, this is what I would have done. It's easy for me to say that. When you're caught in that situation, you have to make a split second decision. It's a little bit different. But that one just looked complete. I don't know. It was discombobulated.
You know what? I wonder what it was. And I'm just totally speculating here. But to tell a little bit of a story, I was calling, doing commentary for a match. And it was a triple threat. Mm-hmm. And it was early in the match. Someone did a very basic move to another person. They went for the pin. Clearly, it was going to be a kick out. And the third person waited in the corner until the kick out happens, then they attack him. And I was like, later, I was like, you have to act like every pin attempt could end it. You can't wait for the kick out. You got to act like this could be the end of the match, even if we as wrestling fans and who know the wrestling world know that this isn't the end of the match. Mm-hmm. I wonder if Rick Knox knew that, I think it was Matt Jackson was standing there.
Right.
I wonder if he's like, oh, well, he's going to break it up, so I'm not going to get down and go for the count. You know what I mean? Like, when he should be like, no, I got to get down and act like this could be the end of the match. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying, but regardless, like, even if you think he's going to break it up anyways, you got to start counting.
Right.
That's the whole idea of breaking up the count, breaking up the pin attempt.
Yeah.
You have to always be on your toes and like always looking in every, especially with this many people in the ring, you got to like always be like anticipating what potentially could happen. I felt like it was like slightly behind what the competitors were doing.
So it's a shame that for a match that was this fun to watch, that this is the thing that I'm left thinking about, is that moment. That's the thing where why you got to be so careful about it, I guess.
I think Jack knows me when he says it was fun for that, you know, that crowd, it right in their wheelhouse. It just, I'm being honest, not my cup of tea, that stuff.
Yeah,
that's fine.
It was just too much, over the top. There's a time for it. It was like Emily said, it felt like a tornado match from the beginning. If you're going to break it down into a kind of like a four-way, build to it throughout the match and make it feel like, okay, the referee's lost control of this, but he's letting it go. Mm-hmm. That sort of thing, as opposed to letting it go throughout the entire match. And kicking out of everything. The only thing missing was the twisting, burning 450 Hammer Phoenix splash.
Oh, no, they did that early.
Oh, I missed it.
Okay, no, but I will say that from a move standpoint, the one thing that bothered me is the very, very end, they did the title shot to Fletcher. Mm-hmm. He kicked out of that. Then they did one more move, and that got the win. And I thought, why not just use the title shot?
That's enough. Like, I don't get that. They try to cram in too much stuff. They don't need it. It's a weapon. It's a belt. That should be enough for the win. It's like when you got a nice ice cream cone and you got it sprinkled with whatever you like on it, like chocolate chips or little nuts or whatever. But then you have to throw a big glob of whipped cream on it just because it's there. You don't need the whipped cream.
I'll take the whipped cream.
No, it drips down the side of it. It's a cone.
I think we all have different ways of making sundaes. To like wrap this conversation up about the ref, this is something I've tweeted like so many times, a million times. And when I look at shows and I have been booking shows or working on shows, like referees are storytellers in their own way and their own right. And you need good referees to be a part of that story because they're just as integral to what happens in the ring. So I respect referees when they do a good job. And then when something like this happens, I feel really bad because it's not necessarily their fault. It could just be the circumstances. You have an off night. But referees are so important to wrestling. So
100%. We had the conglomeration have a quick promo backstage. Rocky Romero has been added to the NWO conglomeration, as they now have like 17 people. I love all the people in this group, Emily. I still don't really understand what it's supposed to be. They're apparently fighting the Learning Tree next.
Yeah, I mean, they called them out, the Learning Tree. So, I love how the play on words in this segment, and yeah, I'm intrigued to see what Rocky brings to the group.
Yeah.
So it seems like they're gonna have like a little party.
Yeah, Rocky's great. I think now between them, there's like Willow, OC, Rocky, Briscoe, Kyle O'Reilly. I want to say there's someone else I'm missing.
Is it Juice? Mm-hmm.
No, Orange Cassidy. Is that who you're talking about? Not Juice. He's in Orange Cassidy. Yeah. I feel like there's someone else I'm missing, but Jimmy, I love the people that are in here. I love Mark Briscoe. We were talking about before we went on air. He's a highlight for me. I don't get it.
Well, you need somebody that gets people laughing, and Mark Briscoe gets you laughing.
Yeah,
you know, the comedy is a part of wrestling, and I never saw this before in Mark Briscoe, and now seeing it for this last little while in AEW, I'm interested. He almost reminds me of their version of R-Truth.
Yeah,
if that makes any kind of sense, and you need someone like that in your lineup. So why you know, he doesn't wrestle every week. He comes in, he cuts that little, I guess you want to call it a promo. Is that what it is that he does? I don't know.
It fires me up, whatever it is.
Man. It's,
but it's fun. That's what it's supposed to be. This is all supposed to be fun.
I'll tell you, Mark Briscoe, I don't know what he makes with AEW and Ring of Honor, but he would make a killing on Cameo just doing hype up things. Like, I think I'd pay him every morning for a little good morning, Jack, go get your day, but like hyping it up the way Mark Briscoe does it. Go get it. You know, I'd be like, let's go. I'd be so pumped. We got another promo. This is probably one of the bigger news items of the night. Prince Nana comes out and says that Swerve's a dangerous man, but he's on his way back soon. But MVP arrives on the scene and says when Swerve is ready to up his game, MVP is ready to talk business, Jimmy Corderas. What do we have going on here? I'm very intrigued about this. How about yourself?
I am very intrigued too, because this might be the beginning of a new Hurt Syndicate, for lack of a better term. You never know, because he does have some ties with certain other members. I won't mention him here, even though we know who we're talking about. But I like this, and I like the fact that he didn't go straight at Prince Nana. Mm-hmm. You know, and blame him, but he says we need to do some talking. We need to do some business.
Yeah. I like how it was like, I loved it. Again, great promo, but it was like, you're not doing a bad, like slightly bad management, but it wasn't completely like making Nana feel like he like failed, right? It was like, well, let's work together. Let's work something out. So it was like, I'll give you a deal. It will all work out. And then again, hinted at business.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all know potentially what is going to happen. But I'm excited. This got me all like riled up.
Yeah. Goodfella says, I like the MVP spot. Would have liked more than a tease for such a big show.
No, that was fine.
No, I think it was the right amount of time. It got like he hit all his points.
Yeah, and the one thing about MVP is you talk about good talkers over the, you know, you can mention a whole bunch of names. MVP is underrated or underappreciated as one of the better talkers on the microphone. He can really, really hold his own with anybody.
He's not only good, but he keeps his character as well as being this the business guy that still fits who he was as MVP about money, about, you know, deals and things like that. And so he doesn't only just speak well, but he keeps in line with what his character would say and do, which is a big deal. Mm-hmm. Emily, hot question for you. If you were Swerve and you got to re-sign your management, do you stay with Nana or do you go with MVP?
Oh, my goodness. I would keep both.
You got to pick one.
No.
Yep.
Honestly.
And by the way, the one you don't pick is thrown out, like Jazzy Jeff from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh, no.
Thrown out of the
out of the door? Yeah. No, that's not fair.
That's what happened.
That's a cool stipulation.
Yep. That's what happens to the one you don't pick, by the way.
I don't know. I don't know. So. Yeah. So I.
Nana or MVP. Got to be one of those two.
Nana, I would be. So I'm very loyal, right? So I'm going to pick Nana. But I have a feeling MVP will create a new faction that is going to take out Swerve.
You heard it here first, folks. Emily May wants MVP thrown out.
No, no, I think he's going to have backup. I think we will be able to throw him out. I think he's going to have backup, and he'll be the biggest manager at AEW. I'm saying it.
You know, Jimmy, I, as a fan, want Swerve to stick with Nana. But now I feel like, man, if Swerve turned his back on Nana, he would become so hated.
That's so powerful, but not cool.
Exactly. That's the whole point. Because Swerve is very likable.
Yeah.
Especially with the AEW fans. They love him so much. But if he were to side with somebody who's considered an outsider, I think there's a lot of potential there. And especially with someone like Hangman. His rivalry with Hangman really hasn't concluded, has it?
It has still, been, right? I mean, what else?
You'd think so. I don't know what the next deal is, but I don't know. I like the idea of MVP eventually taking out Nana. I hate that because I like his coffee, but
it's heat. Though on the other side, I mean, you know, you have Swerve stay with Nana, and then this is assuming and speculating, but then you get an angry MVP saying, fine, I'm going to bring in a few fellas to rough you up for turning me down. And then you got Swerve versus somebody who could become an
idol. Why are you taking my ideas, Jack? That's what I just said.
No, that's my idea.
No, I said MVP is going to get it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Emily, did something happen? Such a great idea just now.
What the heck happened? Wait, we're all...
That's so rude, Jack.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe he did that.
I'm going to send you a box of Jolly Ranchers. That is rude. I literally just said everything. Get his people together and take out Swerve. Roll the tape.
That was the best... Emily with the best response in the world. She's going to send you a box of Jolly Ranchers. I love it. I love it.
Ugh, sticky Jolly Ranchers.
I have words I can't say right now.
We have Troy J and Leonard going to get me in trouble here. I always say one of these days people are going to realize that I'm a bad guy on this show.
I'm not the bad guy.
Mariah May and Yuka Sakazaki have a championship match. This one had kind of built up on Collision. Mariah May gets another championship win. She looks to attack Yuka after the match, but Willow Nightingale comes in to stop the attack. That's when Mina Shirakawa shows up and inadvertently distracts Nightingale, allowing Mariah to attack Willow. Emily, so I'll let you have the first one on this one since I was a jerk last time. A big win for Mariah May. And the and now it looks like we've got another mix-up of people who could be in the contendership for that title.
Yeah, no, this is really exciting. I mean, everyone wants more Mina, so I am all for it. I feel like she has to kind of make a decision whether she's, you know, happy with the direction that Mariah May is going. And if, you know, obviously they have a history together, so they got to work on their relationship a little bit, figure out what Mina wants to do. Obviously, I think Mina wants to make a statement in AEW, but does she do it with Mariah May or someone else? So I guess time will tell. And poor Willow, she's trying to get that title shot and it's not working out for her yet.
I think that Willow Nightingale is an absolute superstar. I think she is someone who...
Yeah.
I cannot get enough of Willow Nightingale. I love the idea of her being finally in the women's championship situation. Mm-hmm. Jimmy, I think what I'm loving about this, and this is me, again, speculating here, but Mariah May can't lose that title yet. She just got it. She's got to have a run for a little bit. But if we set this up right, we could have Willow have some rivalries first with, like, Mina Shirakawa because of what just happened here. Yeah. Do some things for a little bit while Mariah May continues being the champion for a while. And then they can have that match down the road. And when Willow wins it, it doesn't feel like Mariah May was just a placeholder. I'm loving this situation. What about you?
I think that's a great way to go. The only problem is a lot of times we see, unfortunately, again, this is going to be people saying, oh, there goes Jimmy picking on AEW again. They tend to go through rivalries too quickly and give us that match too fast. I don't want them to do that in this situation. Mm-hmm. Like the way you laid it out right now would be a good way to go to prolong this. Yeah. It doesn't need to happen next week or in 2 weeks. It can happen. You know, long-term storytellings, and with all due respect to Tony Khan, who recently said they book week to week because long-term storytelling is a thing of the past. Long-term storytelling still sells tickets right now. It is what moves the needle. So I think he was just being defensive. I don't know if that was, you know, his response was just being a little defensive to a question he was asked or whatever. But the way you laid it out, Jack, I think would be a good way to go. Take your time with it, because Willow has this just this natural likability, this natural charisma where everybody likes her. She can cuss you out and you still be, you know what? That was cool. I just got cussed out by Willow. You know what I mean?
She has such versatility in whatever she does, her promos, her wrestling, and she has such an energy in the ring, outside of the ring. Like, I know that Willow will be champion one day, but how do you build to it? So does she need to face, does she need to face Mina? Does she need to face, she's been all over Japan when she was defending titles there. She was all over the US internationally in Mexico. Like, Willow is a superstar, and it's giving her the moment and the right competitors to lead up to that championship match and getting that title. So this is, like you said, Jimmy, you could build this for a year and have some of the best competitors. She's already faced some of the best in the world. So how do you build it even more? Does she get some help from people? Things like that. And I want to see it. And because Willow should be on TV every single week.
They got a deep women's roster. It's it's very, very doable.
The thing about Willow too is I always say she's someone that, like, when she comes out, there's that part of you that we do this where we break it down all the time and you start to analytically think about what they're doing. But just as a fan, you can just, like, feel that feeling in your chest where, like, I want this person to win. I'm so excited for this person. But also, I mean, could you see her with the championship going on, like, talk shows in the morning and talking about being the champion and doing media and press? Like, people would love her. Like, she would be someone everyone wants to get behind. Like, she is absolutely who you want representing your company, not just for the women's division, but representing your company, you know, in general.
That's why, like, it was so powerful to, like, the people were so behind Swerve, and like, that helped get him the momentum he needed. And we've seen it in other organizations as well. Like, we just saw it with, you know, Jey Uso this week, that, like, the crowd's behind him and, like, built to this championship match and a win. So overall, like, taking that time to build those moments is what makes makes things pay off in the end. And then the fans stick with you.
Absolutely. And something that's not going to pay off is Darby Allin's championship opportunity.
Is that called the segue?
I guess so. It's a pretty rough segue, but so it's a gnarly fight between Darby Allin and John Moxley. They tear the entire ringside area apart. John Moxley gets the win. He will challenge Bryan Danielson for the title at WrestleDream. After the match, Bryan Danielson chokes Mox out with a necktie. Shout out to Justin Roberts. Before the Combat Club comes out to stop him, only for Private Party and the gang to even the odds. And Bryan Danielson says he is declaring war. Jimmy, so let's get this out of the way. It feels like they had a plan with Darby Allin and they said, never mind, let's change this. I don't know why. It's weird how they got here. However, I do believe when you look at the history of John Moxley, Bryan Danielson, their rivalry before the Blackpool Combat Club, now the Blackpool Combat Club, it does feel like Mox Danielson is the right match, in my opinion. The weirdness of how we got here aside, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I will agree with that. I will agree that I think this is the right matchup, but it's a little too convoluted a little bit. You know, with Christian Cage coming out with that, with the contract earlier in the night and that sort of stuff. He's already got so many challengers waiting in the wings. It almost feels like there's too many of them. You should have one rivalry at a time and build on that and concentrate on that. Yes, this almost feels like a Money in the Bank thing with Christian Cage, but at the same time, it's almost like he's an afterthought now, and Moxley. You know, see, I just lost my train of thought because of with all this going on, so much going on. But it is the right choice. I
only
think
two guys in the ring, Jimmy. You got to get the other guys to the outside.
Exactly. Someone was distracting me over here. What the hell? Get down.
I think he's high on cold medicine or something.
Yeah. Get down. Get down.
Are you high on the quill?
No, what is it? Cipacol or something like that for the sore throat? Anyway. Yeah.
He's like saying things. He's like, what's happening?
You're not seeing him?
Don't mix the DayQuil and the NyQuil, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Don't
I think you took a double shot.
Wait, I got my lozenges here. Aww. I got my Tylenol.
Hopefully you can rest soon.
No, we're going to keep this show going for a long time,
yeah,
Emily.
Do it. Do it.
But yeah, Emily, this one, I feel like Mox and Danielson is the story here. But to Jimmy's point about Christian Cage, I almost feel like it'd be better off if they took him off TV and like made us kind of forget that he's out there. So when his music hit, it was that's right, Christian Cage. Where if he does it too much, now I'm just like, okay, Christian Cage is going to come
out. He's been doing it like every week, right? Like every time there's like a big match, we're seeing him come out and it loses its impact.
Yeah.
When you keep seeing him do that. Like when we see, like Tiffany hasn't been running out every time and trying to cash it in. Like she's
friends with Nia Jax.
Yeah, right she's now. Friends. So like, you know, maybe Christian needs to make some friends.
Wouldn't hold my breath.
Not the way he talks to people. I don't know. No. I don't think he will.
Actually, you'd be lucky to make friends in the locker room. But anyway.
Yes.
Yeah, I said that, Jay.
Jimmy's bringing the heat.
Canadian heat magnet.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. I think you need some. I'll send you Jolly Ranchers too, Jimmy.
Cool.
Just because I think you'll enjoy them, not because Jack hates them.
They're gonna be all melted and stuck together.
No, they're separate. I'm not gonna like put them together. I'm not gonna unwrap them.
It's gonna bleed through the wrapping, and it's gonna be all gross.
No, I'll make a cute little basket for Jimmy, and then I won't tell you what I'm gonna send you. sorry, I lost my train of thought too.
See,
no, but I think they need to like it's when you like maybe they need more segments with him where like maybe they just show him, like maybe he's not at every show, but like they show segments in between. Like, why I feel like they need to build this cash in a little bit, right? And it's like oversaturated with him, like, oh, every match I'm gonna come out, every match. Then it keeps getting taken away. Like he either doesn't do it, someone blocks him from cashing it in. So how long can this go on? That's like, and like, when are we going to get tired of it? I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like it's too late now, but if they had kept him off TV after winning it, and then he came out after Wrestle Dream, we all would have forgotten that he had it, and it would have been a big, mm-hmm. Oh, wow, I forgot about this. That's right. Is he cashing in? Now, if they were to take him off TV, it'd have to be for quite some time before we forgot about him.
Because you saw the Wrestle Dream, like the Wrestle Dream logo was behind him. So that's like soon, right?
Yeah.
In 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
October 5th, 12th.
12th, I believe.
October 12th. Yeah. So that's in a few weeks. So like, is he going to have a big match then? Is he going to cash in? Is he looking towards that, that cash in then? Like, and then we have the December pay-per-views. Mm-hmm. So we're getting to the end of 2024 almost in a few months. So not sure what his plan is.
I bet I'm going to make the prediction he cashes in at World's End and he's the one that beats Bryan Danielson.
And then it's the end.
And it's the end. And that, because of the big play on World's End and Bryan Danielson's end. I can already hear Excalibur making a connection.
So, Christian's already got legitimate heat with the audience. How much more heat can he have?
He's going to have the most heat if he like beats Danielson.
He's the best villain in wrestling right now, I think. I don't think there's anyone as a villain, as a character villain, is better than him right now. Because I think even the guys, like some people would say Drew McIntyre, I think Drew McIntyre has too many fans. I think there's too many people who are team Drew McIntyre in that, where I think everyone is. I mean, we appreciate how good of a bad guy Christian is, but I think we're all like, Christian Cage is a jerk.
Oh, right. You know? I mean, he scares me. If he is ever at the post press conferences, I'm terrified.
I'm not asking him a question.
Oh no, I'm avoiding that like the plague. I'm like, no. Oh. Anyone else, lean into that. Anyone else, you're more than welcome to.
Just don't tell him you know me. That's all.
Yeah. that was the show. It was a fun one. It was fun chatting with you two. Everyone in the chat, let us know your final thoughts on this week's episode of Dynamite. The Grand Slam edition next week is the 5-year anniversary. Patrick, by the way, says Gunther, Dom, and Liv. Gunther, a lot of people love Gunther. I don't know. He's not the best bad guy, I don't think. Dom and Liv do have some, they're pretty good. But the thing is, Christian is a real threat where those two are kind of goofballs. So that's the difference there, I think. So Emily, you go first. Final thoughts on the show and where can we find you online?
Yeah, it was a great show. Lots of fun. I think there's a lot to lead into Wrestle Dream and the 5-year anniversary next week. I'm excited to see how it all goes down. Thank you all for joining me on Wrestling Inc. You can follow me on all social platforms at Emily May Heller. If you want a heel promo, I have Cameo. So go find me, Emily May Heller. I do really good heel promos, believe it or not. I'm not always this sweet. I can bring it out. I have Cameo. I also have merchandise available. So go follow me on Twitter, Instagram, all the socials, and I have links attached to all of my profiles. So I appreciate you all. This was fun.
Very cool. Yeah, I have to check out. I'm gonna get you to do a Cameo cutting a heel promo on Flobo, and then I'm gonna put it on the show.
Yes, I will 100% do that.
Jimmy, how about yourself? Where can we find you online, and any final thoughts on the show?
Well, I thought the show was fine. Maybe because they called it Grand Slam and it's so close to the 5th anniversary, my expectations were higher. Maybe I was looking above, not that I wasn't entertained by stuff. I thought stuff was good. It's just, again, sometimes I expect too much, and maybe that's
you wanted to see Bobby Lashley show up.
Well, I wouldn't mind Shelton Benjamin, actually. He's really good. Again, talk about underrated guys. My goodness. Shelton's fantastic.
One of my all-time favorites.
Yeah, he's fantastic. And as far as where you can find me here on Monday nights with, usually it's Triple J. It hasn't been for a while, but maybe it'll get back together. And Wednesday nights here as well after Dynamite. The Reffin' It Up podcast with my good brother in stripes, Brian Hebner, and RJ, who holds the glue together. This week, our guest, if I can be serious for a moment, Lance Storm.
Storm.
I can't wait to go to that one. Lance, see, the thing about Lance is he's funny And he's one of those guys that's funny, but you don't know if he's intentionally being funny. Do you know what I mean? He's got that, yeah, he's got that look. Wait, is he trying to make me laugh or is he? Okay. Anyway. Yeah. But it was a fun chat. We had a great time with Lance. And of course, my ref and rants I do from Monday to Friday on all my social media platforms, just, you know, things that I think need tweaking, little things, tightening the screws and giving my opinions on certain things. And of course, now huge pop radio up here in Canada on TSN Radio and iHeart Radio with my friend Donnie De Silva. And this week we talked to Eric Young.
Oh.
So yeah, staying busy, trying to keep the voice intact with lozenges and stuff. But hey.
Eric Young, big fan of Eric Young.
This is the grind, bruv. This is the grind.
Well, I would make sure to check out both of them. You can follow me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. We just wrapped what could be the final episode of Draped in Gold this morning. So you can check that out. Go ahead and you can see the link to that on my Twitter account. Because it's moving to CW and there's issues with us being able to watch it in time to cover. It's a big weird thing. We say it might be the last one because maybe it won't be a problem, but for now we're saying I don't know. Check it out, it's a good show. Also, I did commentary, ring announcing, and I rang the bell ding 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 for West Coast Pro last night. That show will be up eventually. I'm sure I'll keep you posted on my Twitter account. Also, make sure to follow at Wrestling Inc. for the latest wrestling news and be here on Friday as we cover SmackDown. That does it for us. We'll see y'all next time. Boop.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.